Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so we will open up in a word of prayer before we get into the word as we pray this prayer. So, Father God, we ask you to speak, O Lord, as we come to you, that we'll receive the food of your holy word. We ask that you take your truth and plant it deep within us. We beg you to shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of the Lord Jesus Christ might be seen in us today, in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. We beg you, Lord, speak to us and fulfill in us all your purpose, and do it for your glory, your honor, and your praise. We thank you, Father. We beg and ask of you these petitions. We place these petitions before you. We ask them in the holy, mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And everyone that agreed with that prayer said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Speak, Lord, for your slaves are listening. We are continuing our series on the holiness of God. And we are teaching, it's a bit complicated, but I thank God that through meditation and going over it, that we're starting to understand what the Lord is trying to tell us concerning his holiness.
Amen.
The Lord God, again, as I remind you, said in Leviticus chapter 10, the Lord God said through Moses to Aaron, father of two sons who fell under the judgment of God for being dishonorable and acting in an unholy manner toward the holiness of God, the person of God. Moses says that God told them that those who come near me, I will be treated and regarded as holy. And before all the people, before all the congregation, before all the watching world, I will be honored. That was all that Aaron had to say. You will treat me as holy, and you're to honor me. And he said, I will be honored. Whether you do it voluntarily, or whether you do it involuntarily, I'm going to be honored. And it's a threat in a sense. Not only is it how we're to act, but it's like if you don't, look what can happen.
Amen.
And the fact that it doesn't happen doesn't mean that it's all good. Amen. That's what we gotta, I'm hoping we're learning that here. Just because it doesn't happen, meaning that we fall under the judgment of God right away, doesn't mean that that what we did was okay. It's just that he chose to have grace rather than show justice.
Amen.
People are talking, well, I want justice. You want justice? I don't think you do. I don't think you want justice. I think what you want, you want grace and mercy, but you don't realize it.
Amen.
Amen. Speak, O Lord. So we talked about just reminding us that in our unglorified state, we're more compassionate and we feel more sorry, if you will, for the sinner, because that's who we identify with. And so we said last week, we, in our unglorified state as of right now, we feel sorry for Nadab and Abihu. We feel sorry for Korah and his kinsfolk and all who rebelled against God through Moses. We feel sorry for Uzzah, who just touched the ark to just straighten it back on the cart. We feel sorry for Ananias and Sapphira. It was just a little lie. I mean, give us a break. Well, the Lord is saying, well, y'all ain't no Kit Kats. That's an old commercial. Give me a break. break me out some of the Kit Kat bites. Yeah, we always want a break. April shook her head like, are you kidding me? Did he really say that out loud? I think the old McDonald's commercial was, you deserve a break today. God, we don't deserve any breaks. Amen. When he gives us one, it is purely out of his grace and his mercy.
Amen.
Purely. And we can add others. We can feel sorry for Lot's wife. Well, she just took a little glance back. I mean, they was getting up out the city. See, they was gone. You know, he just took a little glance back. Yeah, but that look back, if you just look at that on the surface, because all the Bible says that Lot's wife, all of them was running from the city, Sodom and Gomorrah. And then they was running from the city. They said, Lot, because the Lord told them, don't look back. So it's not about just physically looking back that her eyes could see. It wasn't that. There was hurt stuff involved. She looked back with longing and desire at what God is burning up. That is an absolute insult and blasphemy to the very person and holiness of God. I don't care what anyone tells you, he burnt those cities up because of rampant homosexuality. Rampant in those two cities. I don't care what the homosexual community tries to tell you, that's why he burnt those cities up. Amen. And for her to look back at that, those two burning cities with any type of longing and desire, yes, his wrath fell on her immediately and she turned into a pillar of salt. And that became a monument for those who dishonor God, because he said through Moses, he said, those who come near me, I will be regarded as holy. And before all the congregation, I will be honored. You will honor me. Now, Word of Life Christian Learning Center, let me tell you something. By the grace of God, we are voluntarily saying Jesus is Lord to the glory of Father, the glory of God the Father. We're voluntarily saying that. But the Word of God says that the whole earth one day is going to bow down and say and acknowledge Jesus as Lord to the glory of God the Father. So you're going to do it either voluntarily, like we're doing it, or there are going to be billions who are going to do it involuntarily. But guess what? Everybody's going to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Because I will be regarded as holy.
Amen.
And you will honor me. So we feel sorry for Lot's wife. We feel sorry for Korah, Uzzah, Ananias, and Sapphira, because we identify more with the sinner than we do with the holiness of God. And as we said before, we are in our unglorified state. We look at the holiness of God, and when it is compromised, when it is disrespected, when it is blasphemed, when it is desecrated, we just don't have that understanding. And so we kind of disregard it. Not kind of, we disregard it in favor of the judgment that's being passed on the sinner. But there will come a time when we are glorified. There will come a time that when the holiness of God is compromised, when it is desecrated, when it is disrespected, when it is dishonored, and we're going to side more with God's holiness.
Amen.
And we will rejoice in his judgments.
Amen.
Even if our own family members fall up under that judgment.
Amen.
Amen. I love how the Lord spoke to Sister Melinda on Wednesday that, you know, family and kinfolk, they are here to be enjoyed while we're here on this earth. But they were never meant to be to the believer, to be these relationships were never meant to be placed above the holiness of God.
Amen.
That's what we got twisted.
Amen.
They were never meant to be placed above the holiness of God. That's why Jesus right off the rip told us, you know, the cost of discipleship in Luke 14, 24 through 25 through 33, I think it is. He told you, if you come to me, you got to love me more than your mother, father, sister, brother, wife, children, and yes, even your own life. Right off the bat, Jesus said, you got to pledge allegiance to me more than even family members. I, the Lord God, gave you them for a gift. But those gifts, it's like loving a car more than your, you know, more than your children, or you know, loving jobs. How many fathers and mothers work jobs at the expense of their children? Now that's not that we got it all twisted. As we grow into the things of God for real, then you'll see us leaning more toward the holiness of God, where the Spirit of the living God can give us understanding behind these judgments.
Amen.
So when a flood takes out a whole city, or when planes fly into buildings, like Jesus said, don't think you're more holy than them. Just be glad a plane flew into your building.
Amen.
Amen.
God is not honored and he's not feared like he needs to be. And I'm talking about amongst the people of God. I'm talking about from the doggone pulpit. We don't honor God. We stand in here like we're God. I'm talking about pastors. They stand before the people as if they are God Almighty. That's way out of order. And that's why I preach to you all. I always put in the, by saying snotting and like a rabbit eyed dog, because there's so much passion in that. I know the damage that's being done. I just don't know the extent of it, but I know the people of God are sitting in those pews, and I keep going back to Christopher Allen Starks. He really wanted to know the truth. He really was searching. Man, I want some understanding. How many more millions of people are sitting in congregations all over the world really wanting to know the truth, and all the pastors giving them is fluff? That breaks my heart. That's heartbreaking. I know you got a whole bunch of other millions just sitting in there just doing whatever. But you know there are people sitting in the pews that really want answers. Just like you.
Amen.
And they're not getting them. I was one. Really, I'm sitting in that pool, sitting in the pew, wanting to get answers, and I'm getting money coming to me right now. I'm getting, you know, faith. You got to exercise the faith, you know, to get stuff. And nobody teaching about the holiness of God. Nobody teaching about the sovereignty of God. That wasn't mentioned. It was even mentioned barely. Let alone, if it wasn't mentioned, it was a quick mention. Sure, you're going to say God is holy. You hit it and keep moving. But as far as just learning the character of God, who he really is, I didn't get that. And I sat under there for 9 years, and I was a serious person. Because I knew eventually I was going to be a pastor. So I sat there with all kind of notes and all of that because I was serious. And I know myself, know Mr. Chris and others like us, we're not the only ones.
Amen.
There are many, 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 many others. As I told you, one pastor referred to his congregation as N, using the N word. That is extremely disturbing.
Amen.
And you know what? Sometimes I wonder, just like David, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this? How long are you going to put up with your name being dishonored like that? You know why? Don't know who God is. Don't understand the holiness. When God is dishonored, when God is disrespected, when his holiness is desecrated, you know what? Ain't no skin off my nose, you know? Ain't got nothing to do with me. I don't care. They go back in their pulpits and do the same thing time and time again. But I tell you, if I go to my charismatic roots, I feel it down in my soul that God is going to bring some judgment against these churches. It's going to start locally. We're going to hear about it. It's going to be loud, too. And I believe that's a prophetic word. He's going to clean this mess up to a certain extent. Because even the wrong ones still, serve a purpose. Gonna clean it up, some of it, and don't be surprised. Word of life, one way or another, if a whole bunch of folks show up here, or we gotta go there and pastor a church, don't be surprised. And we actually take over that ministry. Don't be surprised when God says enough is enough. Guess what? Enough is enough.
Amen.
When you tell yourself, ain't got nothing to do with me, don't bother me none, you don't realize it has everything to do with you because he's your father. That's like telling your mama, mommy, my mommy got to do with me. Think about that. Would you say that to your mother? Never. You know, so you'd be looked at crazy. Like, why ain't got to do with me? They can disrespect her anytime. Man, you're going to be fighting. You're going to jail. Like, you know what? Just get the prison cell together because I'm going to jail. I'm finna catch a case. You, because I'm, you finna die. I used to say, you know, this collar comes off. This tie, it gets unloosened. It come off. It ain't sewed to my neck. It's going way off. Because you bother mother, it's going to be some problems. And I'm going to have all the problems because you're going to be dead and I'm going to be having the problems. Free Pastor Greg. Free Pastor Greg. Because I'm going to lose it. But Sister Lana, that's been a hard one to let go, man. That's mama. That's my mother. There's going to be some problems. Well, what we don't have is that same passion for God, our supreme parent and father. Why? Knuckleheaded preachers aren't teaching the people. And if you aren't being taught, guess what? You can't know.
Amen.
That's why all pastors ought to be teaching pastors. Most of God's children do not know who he is.
Amen.
Have no idea. The only one attribute that almost all the pastors want to dwell on and land on and just stay there is he's loving. He's a nice guy. They won't just talk about the love. They even got that wrong. Because there's various loves in Scripture.
Yeah.
He loves the sinner one way and loves us another kind of way.
Amen.
Don't even have that right. He just want him to be nice. Thou shalt not offend. Thou shalt not step on toes. Those are not commandments. Because if you look at Jesus, he was crushing toes. He didn't care who he offended.
Yes.
When he was led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
He was gentle to some. An absolute gangster to others. Yes, when God is dishonored in order. That does have everything to do with us. And that's why this series will help us to get there. Help us to rejoice in his judgments. We're not there yet. But the word of God promises that that will be our destiny one day.
Amen.
And that's good news.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about the process of, let's talk about glorification. If you take a note, first and foremost, glorification is the work of God Almighty. First and foremost, glorification is the work of God. We understand that. I know that's ice to Eskimo. That's obvious, but let's say it anyway. That's one thing we major here in saying the obvious. First and foremost, glorification is the work of Almighty God. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. Powerful, powerful, powerful verse. Philippians 1 verse 6. Got it? For I am confident of this very thing. You can, look here. You can't ever get confident in anything unless you've been fully informed about it. Unless you've experienced it. Thank you, Father. This is our prayer that we can say one day that we are confident of this very thing. What of this very thing that we're confident in? Here, comma. That he who began a good work in us will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's what we're confident in. That God, who has begun a good, the He here is God the Father, through the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that again. He really embodies the Trinity. God the Father, through the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's who has begun a good work in us. This work was not brought into existence, or the process didn't start on our own, no human being. This is all Trinitarian, all supernatural. He, God the Father, through the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, who began means he initiated the process. And it's a good work. It may not feel good, and it often doesn't, because pruning and getting rid of things that you want to hold on to and got to let go is not a wonderful process. But it is, in the end, a good work. In you, in us, believers, will perfect it. In the Greek, that perfect is an intense verb. So not only does it mean to complete, but he'll fully complete it. He will absolutely finalize it. He will consummate and will show enough finish it. That's why we can be confident. He's going to fully complete and finish this work. That's good news. Because I know if you have really tried to live this thing out, I'll speak for myself. I can get frustrated with myself. Like, Lord, have mercy. I'm still thinking this. I'm still saying this. I'm still reacting this way. Lord, have mercy on me, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And you say, I'm tired. I got to get my Dr. King. I'm tired of myself. Tired of myself. And you get frustrated with yourself, and then the Lord brings you, hey, I'm working on you though.
Yes.
I'm not going to ever leave you nor forsake you.
Yes.
I know I told you for the 7,856,178 times to don't do that. But here you are on the 8,756,001 time doing it again. And yet he still says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I'm with you always, and I've sent a comforter called the Holy Spirit, called the Parakletos. One, para means alongside, kletos, helper. He's right there, always helping.
Thank you, Lord.
Coaching, guiding, teaching, directing.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because he has begun a good work in us. And he's going to complete it and finish it. You know, perfected means that there is no possibility of failure or partial fulfillment. I want to say that again. He's going to complete it, right? He's going to perfect it. He's going to fully complete it, fully finalize, consummate, finish it. In other words, there is no possibility of failure or partial fulfillment. There is no possibility. What does that mean? He's going to show up, finish it. It has to happen. Why? Because God cannot lie. He's going to finish his work, this good work that he's begun in us. That is some good news. To be honest with you, we should be had an organist right here doing his thing. We ought to just be shouting all around this thing here, man. Just shouting crazy. Because thank you, Jesus. As crazy as I'm, as the disappointment I get with myself over and over and over again, I'm thinking this again. I'm saying this again. He's still there working. I told you there's a lot of yellow tape, a lot of orange barrels. There's the big steam shovels. Beep, beep. He's bagging up. You got to do it again. You got, I mean, it just, we just, each life is a full construction site. You got scaffolding. You got cement trucks doing stuff. It's just a site. And the old school song was, please be patient with me. Y'all remember that song? God is not through with me yet. Please be patient with me. That's an old school song. That's an apropos song. Because he's not through. That's why we got to be patient with one another. We're all works in progress. We're all under construction. That's why the word of God says, for what we will be has not yet appeared. It hasn't happened. We're not what we're going to be. So we need to be patient with one another. And you got to realize that the problems you may have in your life may not be the ones that I have in mine. The ones that problems I have in mine are not the ones you have in yours. So if my problems are ABC and yours is DEF, then we can't both. Well, that's a problem. DEF ain't a problem with me. Yeah, but ABC ain't a problem with me. You want to have a contest? You can fight about it. And you keep on talking. You're going to be some knockouts up in there, bro. Better slow down. Because we all got problems.
Amen. Amen.
Just because corned beef on rye with a pickle and a little spicy mustard is your sandwich, the person who doesn't like that say, ugh, I would never eat that. Yeah, but you gonna eat turkey on white.
Amen.
And the roast beef said, I would never eat that. Right. In other words, we all have our weaknesses. We all have areas where we are easily tempted. I never was tempted with crack and drugs and all that. That just was never a thing with me. You know, same-sex attraction, never was a thing with me. But there are saints of God who have their challenges. And we must be merciful. We are family. We need to be patient with one another. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So he who began a good work will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I believe that means at his second coming, that's when that will happen. So that's good news. Okay. Glorification involves the transformation, I don't know if you knew this or not, of both the body and the spirit. So the body is transformed, we're going to go over that, and the spirit is transformed, changed. Okay, the glorification process involves both the body and the spirit. Both going to be changed. So in our glorified state,
Our body's going to be glorified and our spirit is going to be glorified.
And I'm not going to get into, you know, what that's going to look, because the word of God doesn't say that per se, you know, like, you know, well, you know, if I had a little weight on me, would I still have a little weight on me in my new glory? I don't know. I've heard that question before. I don't know. And it doesn't really make a difference, because even if you do keep your weight, it's still going to be glorified. You ain't going to develop no diabetes. No heavenly diabetes. It's nothing like that going on. You're not going to keep gaining weight. You have a glorified body. So it really don't make a difference. You can be looking like muscle man, or you can be big as a house. It doesn't make a difference. Your body is glorified forever.
Amen.
Ain't nobody saying nothing. Look at her. Ooh, she kind of big, ain't she? There's nobody up there doing that. Nobody doing that. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Amen.
Y'all know down here, everybody always making a comment. They make comments like, look at that. Oh, you got something to say. Ain't none of your business. I hate social media.
Amen.
Make sure to take care of that. I hate social media. This is Pastor Gregory Thomas Harris saying it. I hate social media. It's like you think you got the right to comment on somebody else's life. That's none of your business. And to be honest with you, that mindset, thinking you got the right to comment, is actually ungodly. Because the word of God says to mind your own business.
Amen.
You have no right to be. It's none of your business. They're doing something wrong in between them and God. It's nothing to do with you.
Amen.
Pray for them if you're a child of God. Amen. So, it's going to involve both parts. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, let's talk about the spirit. Talk about the transformation of the spirit. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 18. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. Okay, we got it? Okay. For you have not come, this is a contrast, if you will, between Sinai, Mount Sinai, and Mount Zion, which is the spiritual kingdom of the people of God. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and the darkness and gloom and whirlwind. That was Mount Sinai, when Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, and the presence of God was there. And to the blast of a trumpet and the sounds of words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was a sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling, which is what we don't have toward God anymore. But we haven't come to that mountain. Verse 22 says, but you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly angels, and heavenly Jerusalem, and to a myriad of angels. So this is talking about heaven. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's Jesus, who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, here it is, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And to Jesus, mediator of the new covenant. The spirits of the righteous are going to be made perfect. Made perfect. That's good news.
Amen.
That there lets us know that's when all sin is going to be removed. We are now going to be perfect here. But notice it says made perfect. That means that
God Almighty, only God can do that. And don't worry about how.
Right.
He's going to somehow go into our spirits and remove all sin so that we cannot sin anymore.
Amen.
That's good news.
Yes, it is.
That means every thought is pure.
Yes.
Every action is pure.
Yes.
Every intention is pure forevermore. That's shouting ground.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Look at I'm going to read 23 from the Amplified Bible, the Amplified Version, verse 23. And to the church, the assembly of the firstborn, who are registered as citizens in heaven, and to God, who is judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous, the redeemed in heaven, who have been made perfect. That's who we are. I was reading that in the Amplified. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. I read it from the Amplified. Verse 24 from the Amplified. And to Jesus, the mediator, the go-between, the agent of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. So that was the end of verse 24, 23 and 24 from the Amplified. So recognize that the spirits of the righteous are those who are redeemed in heaven. And we receive, we will receive that tremendous eternal benefit of being made perfect. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Okay, so that's the transformation of the spirit. Now let's talk about the body in the short time we have left here. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. I'm looking forward to some things, my goodness. That's why suicide is an acceptable form to a person whose mind has been deceived, is because their future is bleak. And because their future is bleak, they see no way around it. And because of the lie that death is just sleep, then suicide becomes a more appealing option. Because what I see down the road, I don't see any hope. And sleep, it's got to be, the devil is a twofold liar in this particular case. He's lying to them that it's that bad, even though you're 16 years old, 17 years old, 10 years old, 14 years old, let alone 44, and at least you live some life. Good night, but you that young. And then the lie, that's one lie, that is so bad it'll never change, you might as well kill yourself. Then the other lie is, because on the other side of death is just sleep, it's just comfort and peace, but they don't realize that after death is judgment. And they've jumped literally out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Amen.
That is a vicious lie. Suicide is a vicious lie. It's based on two horrific, vicious, demonic lies. The most damaging of which is the second one, which is death is just nothing but sleep and peace. Amen. I said that to say we have a future.
Yeah.
Thank God we know what it is.
Amen.
We're not wondering what it is. We know what it is. The Word of God lets us know that. That's why our hope anchors our soul.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
yes.
It keeps us from floating all around. It grounds us because we know the future.
Yes.
We know what the Lord is going to do. We know God cannot lie.
Amen.
And when He says, whatever He says, it has to come to pass, because it is an impossibility for Him to lie.
Amen.
When He says the spirits of the righteous made perfect, guess what? It has to happen. When He says that He who began a good work will complete it, it has to happen.
Amen.
We're going to be completed one day, and that completion is going to look like this: a perfect spirit,
and a transformed body. Look at verse 21. Who will transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his what? Glory. By the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Now, he in this case, the body of his glory, talking about Jesus. When Jesus came back from the dead, he had a transformed body. He had a glorified body. We said, well, how do you know that? Well, we won't go to it right now, but you remember he could just appear in the midst. He didn't have to open doors. The doors were shut. The word of God says it. The doors were shut because the disciples were scared, thinking that they may come after them, like they do them, like they did Jesus. So they huddled up behind closed doors, and it says that on purpose. Then it says, and Jesus appeared in the midst of them. Amen. Just like that. While they were arguing, he just appeared in the middle of them and told them, peace. First thing God said, will y'all calm down? And he spoke peace to them. That's what the body could do. Then he could sit down, so you could still contact the natural world, because he sat down, ate food. You remember on the way to Emmaus, the two disciples who were talking with them, Jesus, they didn't recognize who he was. And they were talking. And then when Jesus said some things, and I think he prayed with them, then suddenly they realized who he was. And he said he disappeared out of their sight. So this glorified body, you can do some things with it that's quite different from your natural body. Now, it says here that he will transform our bodies of our humble estate, and this is a humble body, you can see it, it's crumbling as you get older, into conformity with the body of his glory. So our body will be conformed and will be in conformity with Jesus' glorified body. So that's going to be a transformation there of our body. And thank God he's going to transform it, because this thing gets to breaking. You live long enough, it'll just be breaking down.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 49. You hear this at funerals. Thank God we're not at a funeral. We're teaching the word of God. So we can maybe really hear it rather than in the midst of a ton of grief. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 49. Talking about the saints of God, believers. Christians, verse 49, 1 Corinthians 15, just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. We will also bear the image of the heavenly. Keep reading. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. In other words, we in our current state of flesh and blood, in our current state right now, our bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In our current state. And we, perishable, death, doom, mortal, and so forth, will have to inherit in the imperishable. Because in this state, where we are right now, can't get into the kingdom of God. Let's keep reading. Verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And it was one up until he exposed it. We will not all sleep. Meaning, not everybody's going to die. But we will all be changed. This is talking about the transformation of our mortal bodies into immortality or a glorified body. We'll all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not even a full eye closed, but just a twinkle. That's how quick it's going to happen. At the last trumpet, announcing Jesus' second coming. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised. The dead, talking about the dead in Christ, will be raised imperishable. What does that mean? No longer are we going to perish. Death is done. Over with. And we will be changed. For this perishable, that's our body right now, will put on imperishable. That's what we're going to be. That's a glorified state. And this mortal death, doomed to death, that right there explains a little bit more the glorification process upon the physical, natural body.
Amen.
He's going to change, because right now we are perishable and mortal.
Yes.
And he's going to change it to imperishable and immortal. Then we'll be able, in that glorified state, to enter the kingdom of heaven and live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. One more. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're done. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. You got it? Okay. But we all... Oh, I'm going too fast. My fault. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with unveiled face. Unveiled face. So right now there's a veil. So we only can see certain things, but not real clearly. Now, eventually, when they're going to come a day where the veil is going to be removed, and we're going to see everything real clear, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and being transformed into the same image. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Not one that the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. That's good news.
Amen.
So if you put verse 50, the 1 Corinthians 15, that will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Perishable will put on imperishable, and mortal will put on immortality. We're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. So when you look at Jesus, we'll have his body and we'll have a perfect spirit.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Just like he has. Got to meditate that. Because if I told you you're going to get a Rolls Royce at the end of church, you'd be happy. If I told you you're going to get a, I got a job for you making $1 million an hour and tax free, not to pay no taxes, you'd be real happy. But I tell you, you're going to be changed and be just like Jesus. Just like, oh, man.
No.
Because it's just like this. So you got to meditate that. I understand that. You got to meditate this. What the Lord has told us today is great news. He just told us the consummation of our future.
Amen.
We are all set. But it's going like this because we're so earthly minded. And that's where we become not I'm not saying no heavenly good, but very little heavenly good. Just don't meditate these things enough. We still lock in on the natural things. You know, a big house still excites us. Fancy cars still excites us. Money still excites us. Status and fame and relationships still excite us more than the ultimate thing. And so if we thank God here, Word of Life, by the power of God, we're working to change that mindset.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you that you've spoken to us. We asked you to speak, O Lord, and you did. And I believe your slaves have ears to hear and are listening. And although we're not going to get all this in one sitting, we ask that you prompt us to Selah, calmly pause and think about what was spoken today.
Amen.
And we'll meditate on it day and night. And we may be like trees planted by the streams of water.
Amen.
Whose leaves do not wither. And who will bring forth our fruit in due season.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
For speaking to us.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.